This episode of Cognitive Dissonance is brought to you by our patrons. You fucking rock.
Hey guys, back in November, December, when I was wearing all black because of the election results, I was wondering what to do. And you guys said, do whatever you can. If you can go to the Women's March, go. And I had just gotten a Facebook request saying, hey, we're going to try to fill a second bus from the west side of Cleveland. You know, if enough people sign up, we can fill it. And I just, what the heck are they marching about? Hey, they don't even have an agenda, whatever. And you guys said, yeah, go if you can. I thought, shit, I'll pay the $75. And I was number one on the second bus from the west side of Cleveland. Well, we filled that second bus. We filled three buses. We filled five buses from Cleveland. We went to Washington, D.C., and I marched with all those nasty women. There were so many people there. They had to reverse the direction of the march because it was too crowded and there was so much crap left over from the inauguration. I marched. I'm glad I did. I'm going to be marching again Friday. I would have made it to the airport for a second time. My grandbaby, she was marching in Cleveland with both her mom and her dad and my daughter. So everybody that's always marching, we're all going. Thanks for the push. Bye.
Hey, Tom and Cecil. So in these dark times, I thought I'd treat myself to something special. So I just ordered myself a brand new giant dildo with the discount you guys gave me. I'm super excited, and I will try desperately not to think about you guys when I use it. But if I do, I can just think we're going to need a bigger glory hole.
Advise that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording live from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. This is episode 342. And it's kind of nice that this one ends in a two, because this is the second time we've tried to do this. This is the episode where we actually have Dan Errol on our show. Dan, welcome.
Did you guys make sure you're recording this time?
Oh, that hurts my heart space. Man.
We did record last time. It just didn't like you.
Yeah, you know that thing where somebody's like, oh man, and then the audio didn't get recorded. That means we did a terrible job.
Dave Rubin must have got to you.
Yeah, he used all of his influence on me. So, Dan, thanks so much for joining us for the second time. We really appreciate the 30 minutes you spent getting set up to be on our show this evening.
Look, I bill by the hour, so I'm fine.
So we only have 30 minutes left. All right, good. Okay, fair. Yeah.
I can finish twice.
Yeah, I know.
How do you know?
You're already done. You're smoking a cigarette right now.
All right. So, Dan, you are the author of the Danthropology blog, which can be found on the Patheos site. And there's a couple of stories I wanted to talk to you about. The two most recent stories as of the time that we're recording, both from February the 2nd. Donald Trump vowed to destroy the separation of church and state. So this is an article referring to the repeal of the Johnson Act, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
So why don't you walk us through this a little bit? What does the big Cheeto want to accomplish here?
Well, he had mentioned this on the campaign trail as well. And so what he's looking to do is, by repealing the Johnson Act, he allows churches to politic from the pulpit. So
hold on. How are they prohibited right now? So if I'm a church and I can get up, I'm a pastor or a priest or whatever. I mean, they do it all the time, right? I mean, they stand up there and they do it all the time. So how are they prohibited both by law And then I really want to know, like, do you think that they're actually prohibited in practice right now? Because I think those are two really different considerations.
They're very different. So in by law, the Johnson Amendment, and this applies to all nonprofits, including churches, can't endorse political candidates or even in bills. So they can support the idea of a bill. So they can say, like, we support, open immigration, but they can't say, go vote yes on, five. They cannot say that. They can make a position known, but they can't say, vote for this. And then they can't stand up there and say, you should vote for Hillary Clinton or you should vote for Donald Trump. And one church even got in trouble during this election. Well, got in trouble, I'll air quotes there, because they told people not to vote for either. And even that's a violation.
So, okay, you violate the Johnson Amendment. Forgive me, I called it an act earlier. You violate the Johnson Amendment. And so here's how I understand it. Please correct me where I'm wrong. If I am a church and I violate the Johnson Amendment, nothing at all happens to me in practice. Nobody does shit. Nobody says shit. Nothing actually happens. This is a lip service amendment in practice. Am I mistaken about that?
You're not, because the IRS fired the person, the one single person who was in charge of overseeing all churches in this, got fired. One person.
There was one person?
One person. They've lost their job and it's never been replaced.
What do they lose it for? Trying to enforce the Johnson Amendments? Of course, yeah. I mean, like, can you imagine if that's your job and you never did any, why would you even have the job? Hey, Bill, what are you going to do?
Well, they won't let me do it.
Huh?
Huh?
So you just spent all day doing that?
So what would you say you do here?
Exactly.
And so, Freedom From Religion Foundation sued the IRS over this, the whole, there not being a person there to enforce it. And they've swore to play nice now and hire somebody, but that's probably all going to change now.
Well, did they lose the lawsuit?
The IRS lost the lawsuit, or they at least settled. They said, look, we're going to put somebody in that position and we're going to start holding churches accountable. But they have not as of yet, as far as I know. And now that Trump's put a freeze on hiring all federal employees, they won't be.
So what difference does it make if this gets, believe me, I think there should be the Johnson Amendment, right? But I think that's only meaningful to have laws if laws are enforced, right? There's all the crazy, like, you can't fucking step on a donkey in a bathtub laws and like all those like ye olde crazy laws that don't mean anything, and they don't mean anything because they're not enforced, right? So a law without enforcement is just words on a piece of paper that nobody gives a shit about. Is the Johnson Amendment nothing more than words on a piece of paper we shouldn't care about?
Not necessarily, because a lot of churches do still follow it because they see the benefit of it existing, and they understand that if the Johnson Amendment left and churches could politic all they wanted, including them, that opens the door to losing tax exempt status.
But it only loses the door if they hire a guy to close the door. If they never hire a guy to close the door.
Or if someone like Trump is replaced down the line and a Democrat comes in and says, wow, well, if we're doing this, and they don't accept the Johnson Amendment coming back, they just say, okay, great, well, we're going to start taxing churches. And I think a lot of churches want to play by the legal rules. They're not trying to skirt the law. And it's the ones that are the most dangerous. And once they have no reason at all to not do it, because I'm going to assume a lot of churches don't know that they could do it and not get in trouble. Your small town church somewhere that keeps out of politics because they can't, might not even know that the IRS isn't going to come after them. So let's keep it that way.
I work for a 501 C3 company right now, and they send out memos every time there's an election season, and they say, look, here's the things you can do and here's what you can't do. And every year we have to take a compliance exam that tells us whether or not certain things specifically that relate to political campaigns, whether or not we can do them. Like, we can't make flyers for a political campaign. We can't have it in our, in our building. We can't house it, those sorts of things, like political campaign. I know that there's a lot of organizations that are similar to mine that do the same thing, right? They go out of their way to say, hey, look, we really need to follow these regulations. But the moment that these get taken away, it's not just churches, it's all charities, right?
It would be everything. It would be any 501c3. And the thing is that when you're talking about all charities, it becomes scarier because when it, across the board, a non-church 501c3 is heavily regulated. If they start pushing politics, there's a team at the IRS that can take them down and revoke their nonprofit status. So they actually have to be afraid. So that's why they are so careful about it. They'll tell you, don't use our computer at work to even post about politics on your own personal Facebook page, because they can lose their status over their equipment being used. Yeah.
So there's a whole team of people that are watching, these charity organizations, and there's zero people watching the churches?
Correct.
And there's a fucking million goddamn churches.
Well, God's watching the church.
Okay, you know what, Dan? I know we had a hard time getting on, but you can go ahead and drop your mic right now.
You know, one of the things too, though, you got to think about too, Tom, it's really interesting. These other charities, they're not trying to express an ideology to people. They're just looking for money.
Yeah, right.
The churches are actually trying to express certain ideologies to people, and they're the ones that are right. less regulated. That's crazy to me. But this also follows what Sean Fairclough said years ago, where, when you talk about daycares, when they're religious, they're less regulated. Schools that are religious are less regulated. And here's another perfect example. Less regulation when it comes to churches.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, churches just walk free around here. They break the law as they wish, and very, very rarely ever pay a consequence for it.
All right. So how likely is this going to get repealed? How likely do you think? What are your thoughts? Is this going to happen? Are we going to be short one Johnson amendment in the next 6 months? Well, how big is my Johnson going to be?
I'm going to guess probably not. I don't think the majority is large enough to swing it completely, because I don't think there's enough.
Is it bigger than a baby's arm? The Johnson amendment?
We do know that we're now talking about swinging my Johnson. I'm just saying. So the majority, there's not enough to swing around. That's the problem.
Yeah, there's not enough.
The Johnson's not big enough to swing hit around. All the Republicans.
all the Republicans, they can't drink from the fire hose.
Look, there's a reason it's an elephant, right? Oh, God. All right. Well, that was terrible. Let's switch to another story from your blog. This is also from today. Reuters tells reporters to prepare for physical threats and to cover Trump as an authoritarian. I'm going to sound crazy here, but I'm thrilled, actually, with this Reuters news agency statement that came out. The reason I'm thrilled, and I want to read from this specifically, is that the purpose of the statement released by Reuters to its reporters is basically to say, in a nutshell, that we're not going to get any cooperation here. And if we're not going to get any cooperation here, we need to actually start doing some goddamn reporting for a change of pace. And I read that and I thought, well, good. Enough of the spoon feeding fucking bullshit where you show up and you say, tell me what to write. Give me your press release. Spin it for me and I'll just recopy it. The Reuters statement here is like, hey, let's go out and do what we do. Let's be reporters. Let's dig in. Let's be investigative.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. And secondly, it's finally a news organization taking an honest look at what they're dealing with, because they're comparing it to the real world. So they're saying their crackdown on the press, the way they're treating the press, the way they talk about the press is the same that we see in China or Yemen and, other places like that, that everyone openly says, oh, these are authoritarian. And Reuters is saying that's what we're seeing now. So buckle in and get to work.
What's their strategy? What do they do differently?
I think they're going to have to go to sources that aren't not Spencer. That's the other. That's the Nazi. Yeah.
Spicer.
Spicer. It's so hard to keep these Nazis straight.
Well, one has a black eye and one does not have a black eye.
Right?
Yet. Yeah. Yet. So, like you said before, you used to show up at a presser and they would tell you what to say, and then you would go back and write it and maybe put a little bit of spin on whatever, direction your publication swings in. Or now they're going to have to get some inside sources. They're going to have to talk to people that are willing to risk their jobs to, kind of leak this information. We're already seeing it. And I think that's they're going to have a lot of a harder job than they're used to. And they're going to have to be more prepared to be told that they can't go in the White House and not be afraid to lose that sort of position. to report on what's actually happening.
So I want to read from the Reuters release, the release to its Bray. He said, quote, "Give up on handouts and worry less about official access. They were never all that valuable anyway. Our coverage of Iran has been outstanding and we have virtually no official access. What we have are sources. Get out into the country and learn more about how people live, what they think, what helps and hurts them, and how the government and its actions appear to them and not to us." And I saw that and I saw it. I thought, yeah, go be fucking reporters. Like, go be fucking reporters. Don't just stand there in the fucking aisle and be like, I don't know what to say. You just tell me what to say and I'll write it down. I wrote down what you told me. Like, I think this is actually great news. If what this does is it turns media into a more robust investigative arm, a really journalistic arm, and not just a press release factory, then, you know, there might actually be, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, some accidental good that could come of this administration.
Yeah, I let's not call it accidental good.
We don't even want to go there. I qualified it with accidental.
But yeah, I mean, it does take the reporter out from behind the desk finally. They're not going to be able to sit there and, you know, just rely on, you know, everything they're used to doing or making a phone call and just getting the answer. Because Spicer spent 10 minutes yesterday holding up pictures of tweets that Donald Trump didn't like.
So true, too. He had those tweets in his hand. He's like, here's one he didn't like. This one is Exhibit A. And then he talked about how it was wrong. It was amazing.
We are at the point where we are printing out our Twitter.
Yeah.
So that we can get mad about it.
He was holding printed out tweets with two big screens behind him. Yeah. Did no one understand how you could put tweets up on the big screen?
Can we get an AV guy out here? Where's Joe? Where's our AV guy? I don't have the cord to plug in my laptop. Ah, fuck it. I'll just get giant fucking novelty printouts.
Do you think that there's a way? I know that they were talking about ways in which that they could try to handle this White House the press secretary by just asking the same question the previous guy asked. Do you think that would work? Do you think that like, if they don't answer a question, that they just ask the same question over and over? I heard that as like a way in which people were suggesting that they could sort of break this down. Do you think that that's a valid strategy, or do you think just leave them in general and don't even talk?
Well, I think if you're going to be there, I might as well try it. See what, at least drive them crazy. Yeah. If, you know, 14 people in a row, including the guy on Skype that's now taking questions, which I don't know if you saw that, but he actually took a Skype question.
Did he really? I missed that. I didn't watch the whole
thing. I think it was 2 days ago. Like, he literally called on like a journalist that wasn't there, and he was there via Skype, and he took a Skype question.
This is amazing.
Was he a Breitbart guy?
Yeah, probably.
This is outstanding. You know, what it would mean in order for that to happen is that the journalists that are a part of the press corps would have to get on the same page, yeah. Right? They would all have to like huddle together. And the problem is that there's an adversarial relationship from journalist to journalist, right? Everybody wants the scoop first. Everybody wants the story first. So they would almost have to say like, truce.
Yeah.
We have to fight a larger enemy, right? Yeah.
And I think you can get rid of that though at a presser like that, because I mean, you can just report on the question the guy before you asked anyway.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
No, that's true.
So yeah. I think if they can agree in there, I mean, Breitbart sitting in there isn't going to agree to this, but I'm sure CNN and MSNBC and Washington Post could all come together and say, we're going to write this stuff anyways. Let's hammer them until it counts.
Yeah.
And they need to, because you know what do we see at the first press release after after he became president, and he stood up there and called CNN fake news, and then people just continued on asking questions like that did not happen.
Yeah, yeah. Like they just didn't even pay attention to it. And he kept on trying to ask, and they said, he's like, no, I'm not going to, you're being rude. Don't talk. You're being rude. You're being rude. I couldn't believe it was happening. And then they just went, but he did directly go to a Breitbart guy right afterwards. So he didn't ask that. He wasn't asking like ABC that question. He was asking somebody from Breitbart who was willing, I think, to step in and ask a question.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I think there should have been a little bit of unrest at that moment.
Yeah. So we're going to be back at the end of the show with Dan Errol to talk about his book, The Secular Activist. So stick around for that.
Fall on your knees, bitch. bitch.
So this story comes from the New York Post. Priest tells anti-Trump protesters to commit suicide. Well, motherfucker, we're trying every day not to. Like every day, all of us just trying. Now, he didn't really say to do it.
Yeah, he didn't come out and say commit
suicide. It's a bad headline.
Yeah.
What he did was he tweeted an image that says, show your hate for Trump, and it has somebody leaping off of a building, and then it says, do it for social justice, hashtag jump against Trump. So he didn't say it with his face.
Yeah.
But he implied it with both words and images and hashtags. So, oh no. And then he's like, oh, I just thought it was funny. He's trying to get out of it. He's just like, ah, I thought it was funny. I thought it was a funny
thing.
It's just
a thing. Cause he did it too. When he had Hillary's face on an image for Halloween. It just said, it was titled Ugly Face in Italian, and Ugly Face in Italian is Brutta Faccia. It even sounds pretty in Italian. It's like Brutta Faccia. It would sound pretty
if literally anybody were saying it, but you. It
doesn't sound ugly at all.
No.
It sounds very pretty, actually.
No.
Ugly. She's got the ugly face. She got the ugly face. She looked like a pizza pie.
She's like a pizza ball, you know, with the eyes and the
she
sloppy.
She looks like the Italian sausage. But it's so funny because he's such a dick. He's like, he put a snapshot of Hillary, and then he also had Obama with the words, he's not my president. And I don't even understand this do it for social justice. The Catholics I worked with have this huge tradition of Catholic social teaching, which is all about, you know, it has all this stuff about poverty and wealth inequality and all this stuff about activism. It's interwoven into their thought, which is surprising that somebody who's a Catholic would be so against social justice. It's shocking to me. I'm like, whoa, wait, what? But, you know, clearly
there's some big disparities within the Catholic Church, right? There's some very progressive Catholics and some very regressive Catholics. When I look at this guy, he's wearing a fucking gilded fucking neck fat robe or whatever that is. Guy, like tablecloth for his fucking jowls or whatever that is.
It's a jowl tucker.
He's tucked
his jowls in there. But
it looks like a Christmas tree skirt.
He does. It looks like you need to water him there.
It's like the needles from his beard are falling off.
It's funny that he's got jump for Trump because this guy hasn't jumped in years. He hasn't left the earth. He barely leaves the earth 1 foot at a time, let alone both feet at the same time.
You could jump off the fucking sausage rolls of his neck and reach terminal velocity.
That guy who jumped up from space, like jumps off him with Felix a GoPro. It's like, whoa! Just like jumps right off his neck tuck.
He looks at this guy's like, no, man, that'd be crazy.
Extreme! He's like,
I will jump from something so high the curve of the earth is obvious.
But not you. Not you, bruh.
You know, and he's like, hey, man, it was just a joke. I don't promote suicide. I've helped a bunch of people over the years, and it does not promote suicide. It was funny.
Guy literally jumping off a building. It's an image. It's an image of a guy plummeting to his death off a building. How do you misconstrue that? It'd be like, imagine if there was a silhouette of a gun and on the other side was bits flying out. I'd be like, what? I wasn't
promoting somebody shooting somebody in the head. What?
Are you fucking kidding me?
I just thought it was funny when I expressly said to do a thing. It's called kill yourself.
Jumping off a building.
He did say he just thought it was funny. And then one of his congregants is like, yeah, man, I fucking struggled with suicidal thoughts, and I don't think that's fucking funny. I don't think it's fucking funny at all. Fucker.
This guy though, he wasn't expressly saying
it says jump. It says jump against Trump. That is an admonition to jump.
Maybe the guy's base jumping.
Maybe you can't see because of the directionality of the image, but he's really got a
base jumping for
fucking
Trump.
Backpacky thing on with
base
a parachute.
Base jump for Trump.
Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Why don't you answer him?
He's talking pig Latin. I don't know what he's saying.
He's asking you if you swear.
No, but I know all the words.
He he's asking you if you'll swear to tell the truth.
Truth is stranger than fiction, Judgy Woody.
Cecil, it has started. We are, Jesus, we are getting to the point where we are almost certain. Oh, geez. To replace Scalia. I know, but because it can't.
It's just replacing Scalia.
I know. And I know that. Yeah. And I do know that. But I would rather die a little.
Well, you would have rather had them approve somebody that Obama put in because it was kind of his job to put somebody in.
To be entirely fair, Scalia had the poor judgment to die and leave Obama only 9 months.
Yeah.
9 months. Almost a quarter of a presidency.
Yeah.
Right. And they cock blocked him. And Mitch McConnell was like, yeah, you know, we're just not going to fucking do it. And then McCain had come out and said, if Hillary gets elected, we're going to obstruct every fucking justice. We are not going to, for fucking 4 or 8 years, we are not going to let her put a justice in. And then just a fucking rumor that they might fucking not allow this Goruck guy or whatever the fuck his name is. Just even the rumor that they might obstruct, they're like, that's un-American. That's un-American. Like,
they get to play the un-American card, though. That's their card. That's their wild card. They get to play that all the time, and they do it all the time.
They do. The Republicans, like, anything that they do, it's like, you don't love America. Yeah. Where's your bald eagles? You don't have enough bald eagles. Lee Greenwood would be ashamed of you right now. Don't make Lee Greenwood sad.
This guy's name is Gorsh. Is that it? Is that the same guy who worked for Hitler, Gorsh? I don't remember.
You know what scares me about this guy the most, honestly?
Yeah.
He's 49.
Yeah, he's young. He's young.
He's a young dude, man. Yeah. That means that fucking my kids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
My kids will be dealing with this bullshit.
Yeah, they're going to be, you know, when your kids are older, they'll be like, oh, is he going to finally die like people are saying about RBG.
Yeah. Right.
So I feel like, you know, this guy has sort of talked about the birth control. And I think he was involved in the Hobby Lobby, like the lower level of the Hobby Lobby.
Yep.
Birth control stuff. And so he's, you know, he's clearly in line with what Scalia was. And it's funny, you know, we get comments from a lot of different people. And a lot of people will ask us, they'll be like, where were you talking about Obama's policies? Where the hell were you when Obama did this? Where were you? They'll mention, you know, like, what have you been talking about for the past 8 years? You know, Obama's been ruining the country, et cetera. I've been talking about shit like this for the last 8 years.
Yeah, right.
I've been talking about encroachment of church and state. But the thing is before, the buffoon in chief wasn't in charge of that. The buffoon in chief was leaving it alone. Now, this guy is involved in it. So I'm attacking Trump, right? Because he's involved. He's directly involved in this shit. You know, before, Obama wasn't encroaching in this stuff. He wasn't encroaching in social issues. He was opening up. He was expanding it, you know? And now we're getting this pushback. You're wondering where I was. Well, I was fighting against assholes like this for the last 8 years.
Exactly.
You know,
if that's you were wondering where we were, yeah, then you weren't fucking listening to the last 341 episodes. Yeah.
This is what we've been talking about. This fucking guy. This guy in particular. Right. This Hobby Lobby case.
We talked
all that
about
stuff.
That quite
yeah,
a bit.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
We talked about that because it's a... It's a horrible path to walk down to start legislating birth control through your health insurance, to start legislating those things. You know, we shouldn't have these discussions as a court to decide whether or not a woman should be able to get fucking birth control, the day after pill, those sorts of things. You know, I know that everybody wants to fight about abortion, but it is not even about abortion.
No, birth control has nothing to do with abortion. Although when arguing the Hobby Lobby case, they inaccurately tied birth control to abortion in order to make it more of a hot button issue and push people who were more to the right or more to the center, further to the right, the people that would react to that issue. Right. So they definitely did that. You know, it's real fucking easy for somebody who's never going to get pregnant like me.
Yeah.
Right. To have a fucking opinion about whether somebody should get fucking birth control. I can fuck as much as I want.
Yeah.
I could be fucking constantly and I'm never going to get pregnant. It just cannot happen. Right. So it's a real fucking easy issue for me because there's no fucking consequences to my body, my autonomy, my agency, all of those things. I could fuck. I could just be constant. I could be a fucking sprinkler system of fucking cum. No problem. I'm never getting pregnant. I don't have one to add to that conversation. But we have these decisions that are made by a bunch of shitty fucking, you know, frankly, like privileged fucking white dudes who are like, I don't think a woman should have birth control.
I don't want to get into debate about the climate change, but I will just simply point out that I think in academia, we all agree that the temperature on Mars is exactly as it is here. Nobody will dispute that. Yet there are no coal mines on Mars. There's no factories on Mars that I'm aware of.
This is great. This is from Right Wing Watch. WorldNet Daily editor Joseph Farah declared that human activity can cause climate change, but not how you might think, Cecil.
No.
Not how you might think. I want to read directly because I think any summarizing would do this wrong. He says, this is from WorldNet Daily. While Al Gore and the carbon phobes have no evidence to support their dire predictions of imminent doom other than computer modeling.
You don't even need computer modeling anymore. No. You don't need computer modeling anymore. Just look at like the last
17 years,
20 years.
Yeah, the hottest 17 years on record.
You don't need any computer modeling. Just look in the past now.
Yeah, right. Those who take my position actually have more than 6,000 years of biblical and historical patterns, along with the inerrant word of God, unlike those stupid computers. I got a real old book and a made up timeline. What do you have? Computers? What have those ever done? Flew an airplane? Landed a man on the moon? Put a rover? Oh, wait, those are all things that we've used computers really successfully for.
Yeah, it'd be awesome if you're like on fucking like the book of curiosity, the rover. That would be a great book if it were in the Bible.
I have an old book that tells you what kind of plants you can plant.
And now turneth to the book of Voyager, and we shall talk about the record. Thou shalt go inside, shall be gold.
Shall be narrated by Carl Sagan. All right. So
maybe it's time for the new bumper sticker. Sin, not carbon, causes climate change. Do you know how much adultery you have to commit just to push the earth up 1 degree? That's a lot of adultery.
I'm willing to heat up my whole apartment though. I'll just tell you, I don't need to raise the whole. But I feel like I got 1,000 square feet to warm up.
In fact, you could put the turkey thermometer in me somewhere. That's kind of my kink.
No wonder I'm so hot all the time. I walk around constantly sweating. I'm like my own climate change.
I want to read here. He says, apparently it never rained on Earth before this time. So it was a true test of Noah's faith that the whole world would be consumed in a massive global flood. But that wasn't the only cause of the flood. Not only were the windows of heaven open for 40 days, but so were the fountains of the great deep. You sound like such a fool. That's like, you know what? We got to sacrifice a baby so that fire rock comes back in the sky tomorrow. Go get yourself a baby. We'll sacrifice it. Like, I mean, seriously, the windows of heaven and the fountains of the deep.
Fall back to Helm's Deep.
What the fuck, man?
We're going to have the Ents fighting and shit. Jesus. It's the stupidest shit I've ever heard.
And my favorite.
It never rained before. I know.
And
how would anybody
rained.
Think alive? Why would there be plants? Why would it never rained before? 6,000 years? It's just like, it's a bad drought, guys. It's literally never rained. We should all be dead. I don't know how we're
They're
still
just
alive.
Eating. They're like silicon people. They're just eating sand because nothing can grow.
It's never rained.
Just like they're just pouring. How's the sand, motherfucker? Anyway,
it's never rained the first time. And then God, hold on a second. God makes it rain. He makes it make real big. He's like, well, I'm going to make that happen from time to time now.
Well, I kind of like it. Looks pretty. There was a rainbow afterwards. You know, once in a while, why don't we just put that on the calendar as a thing that happened? You know, maybe I could make like a weather system around the planet where once in a while the windows of heaven will just open up. Maybe we can open up those little fountains of the great deep too.
It hurts so much. It never rained. Who thinks that's true? What the fuck is wrong with you?
My favorite part is here. It says, when the waters receded, there was likely some profound climate changes. People don't live as long as the generations before Noah, perhaps the oxygen content of the atmosphere was reduced. Yeah, that's what happens. When you're going to die, they put you in the hospital and they give you oxygen, not so you can breathe better, but so you live longer.
maybe shit should oxidize more. That'll help. Maybe if it fucking rained once in a while.
Oh man.
I'm so thirsty. I'm so thirsty. It just
And could you imagine
I bought all these rain barrels and just what? Hoping my
Okay, so all those assholes are just staring at Noah like, what the fuck are you doing again? Like it like, no, it's gonna like there's gonna be water. Like, what are you
Where
talking
would it come
about?
From?
I don't even know what you're talking. Water, what is that? All we have is sand. We're surrounded by sand.
Well, what's the weather gonna be like? Oh, we're not gonna have any again. Another perfectly cloudless day here in Scorchville.
All the animals are just like walking around like, brah, I really wish there was like just like one little water dish, like one dish. Can you just like fill that up? I just want like, there's like a bunch of gazelles that are like, man, I would even get eaten by a tiger right now if I could get to a watering hole. I don't even care.
My body's 80% water. I don't know where it came from. We're like squeezing babies like fucking orange juice.
In the name of Jesus, we speak that. Ora mana shanda karaba. No kore mene bere jede kede bere shida kidi bere sa. Uka chaka uka 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 chaka uka 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 chaka uka 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 chaka.
All right, Cecil, speaking of rain,
yeah.
Make it rain, motherfucker. It's from Right Wing Watch. Matt Staver. Rain during the inauguration was God cleansing away the chaos and harm and blood sowed by Obama.
Obama.
Thanks, Obama.
All right, so we're going to play this clip. This is from Right Wing Watch. This is Matt Staver.
I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Council. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of BarbedWire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Council. Matt, you were there when that historic moment occurred, when President Donald Trump put his hand on the two Bibles.
If you double up the Bibles, it makes it more holy.
It actually makes his hand look bigger. That's why he did it.
So. Maybe think it would make it look smaller. But I can't hold them. I can't palm these big books. That's one of the best
No,
jokes.
What he's saying is like, no, it's a single book. It wasn't two books. It was one book. That's how big my hand is. It's enormous compared to this one book.
He looks down. He's like, which one of these is the Old Testament? Which one of these is the New Testament?
You got any signed by Jesus?
Samantha Bee had a great joke. She said he placed his hand on two Bibles to be sworn in, which is two times the number of books he's ever read in his life.
And then also, just before him, Vice President Mike Pence put his hand on two Bibles as well. And he had his open to 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Actually, he has to, like, in order to, the way the vice presidency works, Trump puts his hand on the Bible and then Pence puts his hand right up Trump's ass and then uses him like a puppet. That's how it works.
I like that he's going to specifically mention he has the Bible open. And he's like, he had it open to this particular passage. No, that's not how opening books work. You have it open to the page.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
All the shit on that page is on that page.
Yeah, so, yeah exactly. Right? Like whatever's on that page, but he's going to read now what that passage is.
If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, that is the verse. And it goes on beyond that.
Yeah, and it says, but it's for white people, though. I mean, like, let's be honest.
Which is funny.
Black people can humble the fuck out of themselves.
That doesn't do any fucking good at all, right?
Yeah.
That was opened, and he had his hand on that Bible verse.
Oh, my God. Well, there we are. He had his hand on a fucking old book.
Yeah.
So he's certainly qualified to run the free world now. I'm so much more confident that he'll make all the right economic decisions because he fucking placed his hand on a book that was written before economies were invented.
What is amazing to me is how much they're going to talk about in this clip, how important that religious component is to both of them, right? That's what this whole clip is about. Right?
I believe it for Pence.
And for both of them, though, they're going to talk. This guy is going to talk about this. This Staver is going to be talking about it with his guests about how important this is and how great this is and how, you know, this person is just, this person is holy. They're talking about Trump and they're talking about Pence. They're both holy. They're both, you know, they both had a lot of prayer, et cetera. And this is the guy that these people are happy is in office. So again, if you're a non-religious Trump supporter, I don't know how you must have some serious cognitive dissonance going on right now, because you made sure that the policies of the far religious right are being actualized in the real world.
Right. Because otherwise, why would they be so fucking thrilled?
Yeah.
Right.
This is an amazing shift in the future of America. And you were right there in the midst of it.
I was, and my wife and I were in the crowd and just so moved to tears, really, to hear. They have said that there was a record setting for inaugurations and prayers. Christ's name was glorified over and over again.
Rain is God's blessing, and it started to sprinkle when President Trump...
Listen, let me tell you about that.
It was awesome.
It was uncanny. We were standing there, and the moment that Donald Trump walked up to the platform, it started to sprinkle very lightly.
It was so awesome.
And then the moment he stepped away from the platform, it stopped sprinkling. It was really wild.
And then from Franklin to tie that together, it was just like, wow, you just get chills talking about it.
It didn't even happen. That's not even true.
And who cares?
But I know, but I did read an article, and then I watched the video. That's just not the case. It was raining a little before, it rained in the middle, it rained a little after. Even if it was, it would mean nothing, right? Because if it had been a beautiful, bright, sunny day, they'd have been like, look at the great day, the glorious day that God has given us.
And then there was two doves, they flew out, there was a couple of them.
A fucking butterfly landed on the tip of his cock, like everybody would be so happy. Fucking little birds and shit fucking did his hair before he came out. Like fucking some kind of horrifying Cinderella. he's dancing around and all these little fucking chipmunks and shit are tying his tie.
But they all gotta be like malformed in some way, right? Like they're all like the evil ones.
He like loses a few in his neck jowls. Yeah.
It's like the land of misfit toys is tying him up.
Yeah. It's like a reverse Cinderella. It's like a crow. Like it's like, ah, ah. Instead of tweeting beautifully, it's like, ca-caw, ca-caw.
It's like right next. And every time it goes like that, his hair kind of does one of those off to the side.
He sprays himself with a skunk for cologne.
It's not human intelligence.
Oh, dear Jesus. All right, so this story is from Right Wing Watch. So there was recently an attack, a terrible attack at a mosque in Canada. I think 6 people were killed in that attack. And, you know, one of the first things that I saw was like, how long is it going to take for the fucking nut jobs to call this a false flag?
You don't have to wait long.
You don't have to wait long at all. Yeah, not at all. So yeah.
I mean, Alex, it's like, they're like fucking Domino's. They'll deliver in 30 minutes or less now.
It's a pizza gate. I kind of want to open a pizza place called Pizzagate Pizza.
Oh, man, I fucking have the spirit cooking pie.
I would just have all the delivery people dressed like young children.
And then jizz on the pizza.
So Alex Jones is, he's already out. He's calling the Quebec attack a false flag. So This is Alex Jones from his shitty show, InfoWars.
So oh, no, they've got a list of over 20 million people. Soros has a database of 20 million through MoveOn, and they hit the button now. And what I've noticed at all these demonstrations is they're led by Muslims. Muslims are leading in this country an insurrection. It's incredible.
Wait, what?
There's an insurrection? First of all, did you know there was an insurrection in this country? I wasn't even aware. I don't even want to get to who's leading it. I didn't even know we were having one. This is the quietest insurrection I've never heard about. Nobody even called me. I feel left out. I got fucking FOMO on this insurrection. It's super bad.
It's sort of like an insurrection from the South. It's like real lazy. We'll get around to it after we had sweet tea.
We're on insurrection time. Yeah. We didn't make it.
Seriously. When he's talking about this, he's making it sound like any of the marches. I think he's saying like any of those marches that were happening
are an insurrection.
Well, I had heard that all of those were George Soros funded. And I'm like,
funded by what's funded? And like people showed up.
Well, the thing is, like, I feel fucking profoundly ripped off because my wife went to one of those and I didn't get any money.
Did you get a big check?
I didn't get any money from that.
Yeah. Where was your $20 million?
Jesus, George Soros is so rich. He can give me money. Give me money, George Soros.
Why? I don't know what you fund.
You know,
what would have to be funded?
They say that they buy
the permits?
Permits and then a bunch of signs, so they'll make signs and things and give them out.
How much could the signs cost?
That's the thing, it's not that much
money.
Fucking
poster board.
Yeah.
The evil billionaire is going to spend his money on fucking poster board and crayons? That's his big plan? Oh, I'll buy all the poster board at Walmart and give somebody some Crayolas.
Well, the ones that they point to are the ones on the sticks that are already sort of professionally made, like the professionally made signs. Like, how did they make a professional sign already?
Kinko's, FedEx, fucking store, easy. Whatever.
Like, it's super easy, but all these people are all conspiracy theorists. So they all think that George Soros bought the signs for everybody. And you're just like, even if he did, that doesn't convince them to do it. Just because you have a sign doesn't mean, be like, oh man, I wasn't even interested in this protest until I had the sign.
I know.
And now I'm like really into it now. Because they got a cool sign, man.
It's such a crazy thing to think. Like you're just walking down the street, somebody hands you a sign, like, fuck, now I gotta go protest something. You know, it's like, you're not even paying
your way to work.
Right?
It's like, oh, fuck. You're like shocked by the sign. You're like, whoa, okay, I'll go protest.
I was gonna take my kid to school, but Jimmy, you're on your own.
Yeah, hi, boss that can fire me. No, I got a George Soros sign.
It says,
no, it's a joint. No, it's like made at Kinko's. Like, it's really nice and it's got a stick and everything.
It's official. What was I going to do? It's from the Soros Corp.
You can't refuse that thing.
It's like stuck to my hand. Like, I can't get it off. Like, how long? You got to march for 3 hours with it before
Jesus.
It comes off. It's like a 3-hour hand glue.
I have a report due in 2 hours.
He buys the signs? Is that really what people think?
Yeah.
He buys the signs?
That's what I mean, if anybody has any other crazy Soros nutter conspiracy stuff, send it to him, because that's all that I've found.
It's the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard.
Isn't that dumb? Like, that's
and my job is to listen to stupid shit. And that is... we just heard a story where people thought it didn't rain for thousands of years. And this is even stupider than that.
Right, and I saw in, I forget if it was in, it might have been in Dallas, Fort Worth, but.
That guy's mustache is amazing. I don't want to talk too much about it, but he's got a really, really, really long distance between his teeth and his nose, and it's covered but fur. It's just like, it's a walrus mustache. Like, this guy is cuckoo ca-choo.
He looks great.
They were doing the call to prayer,
See, Soros bankrolling effort to stop Trump's temporary refugee Haiti. And so, again, they think that he gives money to things to try to stir up problems. George Soros is their boogeyman.
They're just afraid. Like it's the same thing like the Koch brothers or Koch brothers or whatever the fuck.
They love Koch.
They're a couple of billionaires that are interested in the world, and their views directly contradict my own. But they use their money to further an agenda. That's what people with money do. I use my money to further an agenda. We use our show money to further an agenda. Am I evil?
Yeah.
Or am I just, it's so funny how hypocritical it is, right? Because it's like we have Citizens United, right? Which says that companies are people and they can spend money and they can spend political money. They get,
yeah.
And yet people aren't people when they spend their money on political causes. I don't understand.
Yes.
I don't understand this. Like, we want Walmart or whatever to be able to spend
on the one
an
hand,
infinite amount of money and exercise absolutely rights as if they're people. And yet when people spend their money to engage the political system or to bankroll causes they care about, what if I give fucking money to save the whales? Am I fucking evil? Cause I'm advancing a cause.
You know, they talk about Soros and other people on this side bankrolling protests. That's the main thing that they talk about. Well, I think that there's other stuff that they give money to. I just don't know what it is. I don't know what they say they fund. And I've seen too that they said like that they put Craigslist ads out to get protesters to go out and they get paid to be protesters. And I'm just
I've never heard of such a thing.
I'm like, okay, but like everybody I know that went to go march in Chicago marched because they wanted to, not because they fucking filled out a Craigslist ad.
Are they paying for the pussy hats? Is that it? Like, it's just like a free pussy hat and a sign with every protester
lined up like magnetic filings, you know, towards their cult object over there in Mecca, you know, with the butts in the air right in American airports. So,
oh my God, you are super racist.
They can do that in an airport because they're fucking, you know, because fucking that's okay because we respect all religions, dude.
At any point, they could shut airports down. I mean, so if there's something bigger. And which is where I'd like to kind of talk about Quebec.
Quebec. I'd like to also pronounce it wrong while I'm at it.
Quebec.
Quebec.
It's Quebec.
Because I think people are not seeing.
Oh, you mean
really
the attack on the Muslims? They've spun this is a terror attack on Muslims. Some outlets are even saying because of Trump. No, it's jihadis killing other Muslims. Break it down.
It's clearly not.
No, I mean it's very obviously not.
It's clearly not. And I'm going to give Alex Jones a little bit of benefit of the doubt to say I don't know if at this point when this is being said that there is actually they came out with the identity of the guy. But
if they hadn't, then he's making an assumption. Then he's based making an assumption. No evidence,
well, he's making an assumption based on Fox News, which came out.
Yeah, maybe that's what he was using. Yeah.
But there's another layer to this. Now, the Daily Beast, you can see what the frequency they're on is, you know, they're totally on receive mode. The Daily Beast actually ran a fake news story showing, you know, two white guys like at a rifle range with their names as the shooters. They had to take it down after a couple of hours. So some fake news site puts up, you know, two French Canadian white guys with guns. Daily Beast has got it running immediately.
Soros could have activated, had a millions of people on the street. The burn down of the cities begins.
Wait, what
is that? What?
Wait,
Soros could have activated the millions of people on the street. The burn down of the cities begins. I think I got everything word for word.
What the fuck does that mean?
It means that Soros hits an activate button.
And turns into Voltron.
Millions
Please
of people.
Please say George Soros turns into Voltron.
Then there's a monstrous sword.
Oh, thank goodness.
And
I've
then
been looking
I don't
for that
know
sword.
Why they don't use the I sword right away.
I hope his hands are lions. I hope his hands are lion mouths and they bite. Bitey hands.
I got the bitey lion hands. Rah, rah, rah.
He's got bitey biscuits too, because his feet are lions.
He does have bitey biscuits.
He's got bitey biscuits and bitey hands.
He's basically.
Could you imagine?
He's a lion puppet.
Like while he's swinging the sword, like one of the hands, like, come on, man, my mouth is tired. I got to hold this sword.
They sneeze and it goes flying.
This is really difficult to do.
This is a terribly ineffective way to build
Next
a robot.
Time I'm the head.
Why are we just always this robot? Like, why do we know we're gonna start out? We know we finish every fight as this robot.
We're gonna get our asses kicked to the lions. Can't we just start as the robot?
In fact, why don't we just build a new robot and we're never the lions?
Is there any way we can make five robots this size and then become a bigger robot?
And then, guys, hear me out. We always have the sword. We don't have to call it down from space. We won't give it back to space.
We just always keep the sword.
We're
if George Soros were running it, that's how we do it, I think.
I think that what happened in Quebec was an abortive false in Quebec City was a FUBAR false flag operation. Typically, suicide jihadists don't do these kind of things like a commando. Omar Mateen didn't wear a black mask and have a getaway plan. The San Bernardino killers didn't wear black masks and have a getaway plan.
No, I get it. If you're going to run a false flag against Muslims, you obviously have Muslims do it, but then they get caught.
We want to kill Muslims. Nobody knows why.
Of course we do.
And we want to use Muslims to kill the Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
because reasons.
Sure.
So how do you how do you convince the Muslim to murder the other Muslims?
George, like, what do Soros. See, if you offer to build someone a Voltron suit, they'll do virtually anything.
Okay,
for you.
You got me. No, you fucking got me.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Oh, I love this. This has nothing to do with anything except for just how wonderfully delightful it is. This is from Elite Daily. Trump thinks Frederick Douglass is still alive and Twitter won't let him live it down. This is just, we just let him speak. Can we just,
let's play it. This is him speaking. This was him at, now he's giving this. This was at the start of Black History Month. He's actually surrounded by black people talking about Black History Month. And this is what the piece of the audio that we have. This is from Elite Daily. It's even more cringy now that you know.
You're right. Cause now that I know, I have that feeling of like watching like Meet the Fockers.
Yeah, that's what every time he speaks, and I get just the Meet like, the Fockers moment. Jesus.
I want to like hide my head under the blanket.
He goes off script here and it's so cringy. So here we go. This is Donald Trump.
I'm proud now that we have a museum in the National Mall where people can learn about Reverend King. So many other things. Frederick Douglass is an example of somebody who's done an amazing job and is being recognized more and more, I notice.
He's been dead 100 years.
He's getting recognized more and more, Tom.
He's doing an amazing job being a slave.
He's doing an amazing job with that abolitionist movement that's going
he's
on.
He's doing a great job being a freed slave turned writer and died. That's me. He's doing an amazing job. You're a fucking buffoon. He's getting recognized more and more. It's nice to see he's finally getting his due.
Thanks, Frederick. Can we get Frederick up here? Frederick, are you in the room somewhere? Are one of you blackies, Frederick?
You all look the same. I can't tell. Just give an award to one of them. They'll sell it anyway.
Actually, just throw them amongst them. See who grabs it.
Here's a snap card.
Oh, God. Oh, fuck. Are you kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? You know the best part about that? The best part is he's like... He has no idea who Frederick Douglass is. Like, he has no idea.
Somebody
wrote down the names, and he has no idea who he is. And so what he's doing is he's ad-libbing, but he doesn't know what he's talking about. So it's like when somebody...
It's like when I talk about sports.
When you're given an oral report in class, and they're like, oh, so we'd like you to talk about, the economic system of China. You know, the economic system of China, it's doing really well. It's actually getting a lot better. It's going really well for them. You know what I mean? Like, he's just...
It's when I talk about sports.
Yeah, exactly. He's just making it up as he's going along. Yeah. He's... I want to hear it one more time. I want to hear it one more time.
Now that we have a museum in the National Mall where people can learn about Reverend King... So many other things.
So many
Frederick
things.
Douglass is an example of somebody who's done an amazing job and is being recognized more and more.
I notice he's being recognized more and more. I noticed. He came to my attention.
I was on my way in. And Bannon was like, hey, you hear this Frederick Douglass guy? He's moving up in the world.
Did anybody notice Frederick Douglass? Yeah. No, man. Nobody noticed him.
It's being recognized, though, Tom. More and more.
He's done an amazing job. What's his job? Yeah. What's his job?
What did he do?
You know,
what did he do?
He didn't get to pick the first job.
No, he did get to pick during his first job. So we're back with Dan Errol to talk about his book, The Secular Activist, a how-to manual for protecting the wall between church and state. Dan, tell us a little bit about your book.
Sure. So the book is, it's a two-part. So the story itself follows my kind of journey with Ken Ham, the CEO of the Creation Museum and Ark Encounter, and my battle with trying to stop him from using taxpayer money to build the Ark. But instead of making the book just about me, which is just fascinating enough, but I couldn't fill enough pages, is I have stories in there as well from other activists. So people going into city council meetings and demanding that secular invocations or no invocations be given, battles with Ten Commandments, and even you know, American Atheist battle with the 9/11 Museum putting up the cross. And I tell these different stories, and some are winners and some are losers. And, you know, I kind of go through each case and, you know, how they were won or why they were lost and what we can do to be better activists. And even going through the whole, at first winning against Ken Ham and then losing against Ken Ham. And then I wrote it right up to the last day of actually going to Kentucky and protesting. And so the last chapter actually includes being at that protest and what we did there. And really, it's just meant to be a how-to for someone that wants to get involved but doesn't know how. I go through different steps of, you know, how you can be an activist just by sitting on Facebook, or you can be an activist by getting out in the streets or getting on the phone and calling Congress.
How much should we care about the little issues? You know, the invocation, the nativity scene, the little pieces. How much should we care about those?
A lot. And the reasoning is, if we give up on those, if we give the Christian right an inch, they're going to try to take a mile. So they're going to take each step. So they say, oh, well, we don't care about, you know, In God We Trust on money. We don't care about this one nativity scene, except the next year that one nativity scene is two. And then the town over says, oh, we're going to do that too. And they do it. And that's what we see with, you know, In God We Trust being put on the back of police cars. You know, a small town in Texas goes and puts a sticker on the back of their car, and American Atheist sues them. And everyone says, oh, what a petty lawsuit. And then the city or the county in this instance, or the small town, lost $40,000 in that lawsuit. That's a lot of money for a small little town. And that sent a message to, sure, the ones next to it that you're not doing this either. And that's a blow to the Christian right, who think that they can just toss In God We Trust on something and it's fine.
So do these kind of lawsuits, do they prevent the kind of creep of religiosity and a specific religious worldview into the public sphere? Is that the concern? Like, you got to stem every tide or plug every hole in the dam?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, that kind of nails it, because, you know, like I said, if you stop on that and you say, you know what, who cares? It's just one small town and they just have In God We Trust on their car. And then the next small town next door and then next door, and then Dallas does it. And then Houston does it. And then the next town over says, well, we're going to one up that. We're going to put giant crosses and we're going to ask people when we pull them over if they're Christians or not. And then we say, well, that's just a little stupid thing in a small town. So if you just let these things go and they grow, and so they have to be stopped, because you have to set that precedent that no one else can do this.
I'm curious how your battle with Ken Ham went. We went down to the Ark Park. Tom and I visited the Ark. We actually went inside and looked at their dinosaurs in cages.
And, very believable. I almost converted on the spot.
My favorite part, my absolute favorite part, is the turtle with no shell. It was so amazing. It is amazing. The short-necked giraffe was his second favorite, but the turtle with no shell was, I sat there for 10 minutes trying to figure out what the fuck it was. I was like, what on earth could this possibly be? Is it like a mutated slug? What am I looking at?
There were so many wondrous animals. Yeah. I especially like the row after row of bird cages that were closed, but they just had speakers of tweeting
My favorite animal was the native Kentuckian.
Oh,
that was my favorite.
That's
animal
the biggest there. Animal.
Yeah, that's the one I'll that needs the rascal scooters to go up and down those.
That's why
ramps.
It's all ramps.
It's all ramps.
They put one stair in there and it'd be a fucking fucking train wreck of corpses.
I don't know if you saw the inside of that, Dan, but that's all ramps inside. So we went to the Ark Park. Tell us a little bit about sort of what went on there. Like, cause clearly you fought against, Ken Ham about this. What happened?
Well, so originally what happened was Ken applied for, a tourism tax benefit. So, the racetrack that's in Kentucky is a great example. So NASCAR wanted a racetrack in Kentucky. So they thought, well, what happens if you build a racetrack? People come and watch races. Hicks pull out and you know, hundreds of thousands to watch cars drive in circles for 4 hours. And that's going to get...
No, we're going to get email from people.
Oh, I'm going to get email.
They don't know how to use email.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry
just,
about it.
Everything would just crash. They'd watch their server crash for entertainment.
And so, you know, they built the park and the racetrack said, we'll give you... And I don't know how much the racetrack got, but let's say... They said, well, you know, $50 million in tax rebates because you're going to bring in tourism. And so by doing so, they can expand, they can keep the park going. It's beneficial to them. And so, because, you know, when you go watch a race, you come in from out of town, you get a hotel, you eat dinner out, you're spending tons of money in the economy. So it's beneficial to sure. the city and the state to say, wow, let's give you an incentive to build it here rather than somewhere else. Well, Ken wanted that same incentive. So he started threatening to move the park to Ohio or other, even I think Louisiana was on the list. And so he said, but you know, Kentucky, we'll build it here if we can take advantage of this. So he applied and they said, yeah, we'll give you $18 million. Once he got that, he said, great, well, to work here, you have to be a young earth creationist.
What?
You have to, okay, this is my favorite one. This one didn't come out till a bit later down the road when someone finally got a hold of the full thing. To work for the Ark Encounter, if you're not married, you have to sign a vow of celibacy.
Shut the fuck up.
But here's why that, okay. Can that
you,
sounds.
Can, now, but can you sign it in your own semen?
See, so that sounds bad. That does, admittedly. But I think that if you are an unmarried Kentuckian working at the Ark
Encounter, you're probably not having sex anyways.
That fucking document's a formality.
You're getting paid
right?
in teeth.
Right? It'd be like if I was like, I'll sign something that says I don't fly. Yeah. Like,
right. Yeah. Well, okay. I would have just told them to be like, hey, why don't you take you're threatening to take your Ark down to Louisiana. Why don't you take it down there and see if it floats? Next Katrina, no problem.
Just pile on the Ark. Yeah. Just enjoy, you know, $18 million is a lot of money for Kentucky. That's like their whole GDP plus.
Yeah.
This is good. And the idea that this is going to drive tourism to Williamstown, Kentucky. We were there. There's nothing in Williamstown.
In Williamstown, right. So that's a population of what, 3,000?
Oh, fucking 3,000 on a good day with fucking the... fucking race in town, like you were mentioning. There's so nothing there. It's nothing there. The moonshine's allowed to vote.
Williamstown themselves gave the park a $74 million land grant.
Oh, for fuck's sake. All of Kentucky isn't worth $74 million. You could put all of the real estate of Kentucky up for sale right now. $74 million would be three times the winning bid.
No shit.
$74 million for fucking land in Kentucky?
You could probably buy all of Louisiana. It'd be like the Louisiana Purchase Part 2.
I think you can still pay for land in Kentucky with beads and furs.
Grizzly bear pelts.
State is fucking garbage. That state is worse than garbage. Oh. Garbage is offended by Kentucky. Are you fucking kidding me? People from Tennessee make fun of Kentucky.
Oh, man. So did you travel there?
I did. I went to the protests. So me, along with Americans United, sent a letter to the governor, Steve Beshear, or the governor at the time. And we pointed out that, you know, the hiring practices were illegal because the Ark Encounter was an LLC. They weren't a nonprofit. So they weren't a religious organization that had the right to only hire Christians or young earth creationists or teenage celibates. But And so they lost $18 million.
Wow.
And that was the big victory at first. And of course, Ken Ham sued and cried religious persecution, yeah, and that everyone hates Christians, and which is true, but they won the court case, basically.
Now, how did they win? It seemed, I don't understand. I don't, and granted, I'm biased as fuck, right? But I don't understand how they won. Help me understand that.
The Supreme Court in Kentucky is incredibly right wing.
I mean, that's awfully fucking right wing, though. Very, like, far, I mean, right. I don't even, like, yeah, the facts on the ground seem awfully when transparent.
When they say all rise, they play dueling banjos.
Okay, you got me. So, all right. Yeah.
Well, during the hearing itself, you could tell they were going to win just by the line of questioning the judge was going down. He was already leaning in that Hobby Lobby businesses can have religious beliefs idea. And so he was kind of, his whole line of questioning was based around, well, if this is what the people that own this park believe, you know, you can't have an atheist working there. It wouldn't work. And he sort of bought into that. It needs to be in this sense. And they even brought up, like, Disney. You know, if you go to work at Disneyland or Disney World at Epcot, inside Epcot, they have it broken up into different nations. And they can discriminate hiring people. So if you want to work in Japan, in Epcot, and you show up and you're a super white albino from Kentucky, they can say, we can't hire you. You don't fit the job description. Now, they can't say you cannot work anywhere in this building, but for that one particular role, they can do that. So Ken Ham has the right to say, look, you have to be a young earth creationist to give tours here. But to serve hot dogs or to take tickets, your religious beliefs have zero weight on your ability to do your job.
Yeah, sure. So is the janitorial staff have to be young earth creationists?
Every single person that works
there. Yeah, that makes sense, though. They have to clean up the fake animal shit.
Yeah, I mean.
So that's tough. Like, they got to sweep up. And you can only do that if you believe it's there. And you have to have all your fucking imaginary friends in the ark or whatever. All right. So your book, The Secular Activist, A How-To Manual for Protecting the Wall Between Church and State, it came out October the 1st of 2016. Where should we look to buy the book?
Everywhere books are sold. Amazon, Barnes & Noble. There are a bunch of Barnes & Noble around the country that have it in stock if you don't want to buy it online. But it's also available in tons and tons of mom and pop shops. And it's available to them too. So if you have a favorite bookstore, head in there, ask them. They can order it and they can have it in a couple of days. And otherwise, you can get it on Kindle, audiobook.
So Dan, if people were going to find your blog, where would they look?
Danthropology.com.
Thanks for joining us, Dan. Keep up the good fight. You're putting out some really great stuff, some really great articles. We've been checking it out a lot. So thank you so much for your work.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
So we want to thank our newest patrons. Of course, we want to thank all our patrons who are amazing people who fund this studio and pay our employees. So we want to thank you very much. We want to thank our newest patrons, Gunner, Nick, Amy, Lisa, John, Brian, Brad, Sky, Tom Top, Cecil Bottom. Nobody can be the bottom for Tom. He tears everything. He tears it all. He tears it all up.
I have a gentle touch.
Brian, Jonathan, Ass Dozer. See, now they could be the bottom for
Tom.
There
you go.
Jamie, Robert, Madrazin. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I'm sorry. Opening arguments. Charlie. Greetings from Costa Rica, Douglas, Jody, Judy, and Marty. Thank you all so very much for your generous donations. Speaking of opening arguments, we were on the Opening Arguments podcast very recently. We did a lot of awful movies with them, which is available to their patrons. And we had a great time doing it.
That was a lot of fun. We did Runaway Jury.
So much fun.
Don't watch it, but listen to their show.
Yeah, really good
stuff. But you got to be a patron to do it.
I think you got
to
be a patron.
You do.
Good stuff.
We got three PayPal donations. We got donations from Eric. We got a donation from Hans. And we got a donation from Joe. You can go to dissonancepod.com. Click on donate. It's another way to support our show. Thank you so much for your generous donations.
So we are going to have another book that we're going to read. So we're going to actually do a fight.
We are.
We're going to fight some books. But Tom has already picked his. So yes. Tom picked Dianetics. So Dianetics is going to fight against another book. I'm going to read the other book, and then Tom and I are going to quiz each other based on this. We're not going to read the other book. So Tom and I are just going to have to, we're going to have to quiz each other based on that. So Tom is going to read Dianetics. I am going to read one of four books. You can go to patreon.com. Actually, if you go to this episode, episode 342 at dissonancepod.com, click on it. You can be taken directly to the patron post where we're going to be polling everybody. And you don't have to be a patron to participate. You can just show up and vote there. So,
but hey, while you're there,
hey, but you can, these are the books. So it's Quantum Healing by Deepak Chopra,
the revised and updated edition,
Natural Cures quotes, they unquote, don't want you to know about by Kevin Trudeau, the known felon, Kevin Trudeau. Urine Therapy, Nature's Elixir for Good Health by Floral Penchnock. I don't even know.
Who cares? It's urine therapy.
And then finally, Ray Comfort's Scientific Facts in the Bible, 100 Reasons to Believe the Bible is Supernatural in Origin. So if you're interested in me reading one of those books, let us know. Go ahead and vote for one of those books. And then I will pick the one that gets the most votes. So whatever one gets the most votes, I will read on the show, and we will fight it to see whose is crazier, Dianetics or one of these books. I wanted to mention too, Christina sent in a message, and this is important. I had said that Richard Spencer was punched during the Women's March. He was actually punched on Inauguration Day. I want to make sure that that gets mentioned. I might have misquoted Eli when I said that. Eli had said that it was overshadowing, I think, the Women's March. So I wanted to mention the Women's March. In
he also got a lot of his information from a recent Yik Yak.
That's true.
So
I should never trust Eli for anything. It's a mistake of mine. So
he made one mistake. I'll never let him live it down.
But thanks, Christina, for sending that
Thank
in.
Thank you.
We got a bunch of people sending this site. It's called TrumpDonald.org. You can go to our website, DissonancePod.com, click on 342, episode 342, and you can go to this website. We'll have a link to it. It's actually very, very funny. So we'll let you figure out exactly how it works. So we got a bunch of messages about Nazi punching. People wanted to send us images of cartoons, which Tom and I are both on the side that cartoons, it's fine. If it's in a comic book, it's cool, right?
Yeah. Somebody tweeted us like a picture of like some superhero. And I'm like, yeah, I will admit that superheroes get a pass.
Yeah. Superheroes totally get a pass. Like if it's in a comic book, that's fine.
But I just admit like in real life, if you have superpowers, then go fucking punch Nazis. It's fine. Like if you shoot fucking lasers out of your eyes, I don't even care what the superpower is.
Yeah.
If you have supernatural abilities, I'm fine with you punching a Nazi. You just live outside the scope of human morality. It's fine.
You get to do whatever you want.
Right.
We got a bunch of messages though about this, and a lot of people didn't agree with us. Some people did. But in this particular one, Tom, you wanted to talk about it as someone who has sort of ties to Nazi Germany.
He said, I appreciate the efforts of denouncing violence that you, Thomas, and Noah have put forward in your respective shows. It's still hard for me to see it your way. My grandma, who I recently lost, survived the Blitz, and I was raised on the stories of the horrors she faced during the war. The time the church windows were blown out by concussive waves during choir practice. The dud filled with sawdust that fell behind her house while she was sleeping. The torpedo that nearly hit her boat as she crossed the Atlantic, and on and on. It's very difficult for me to see a Nazi getting punched as a bad thing. I don't want to promote violence. I just have a hard time seeing it exactly from your perspective. I guess appropriately enough, I'm experiencing some cognitive dissonance. You know, and I want to give some, I want to talk a little bit about this because Cecil and I did talk ahead of time quite a bit about the Nazi punching thing. And Cecil, one of the things you said is that you recognize the place of privilege we come to when we have a dispassionate view of punching a Nazi. And, you know, because I've never been the subject, nobody in my family's ever been the subject of Nazi-related violence, right?
Yeah.
So I think that matters. That matters in our ability to be dispassionate.
Sure, absolutely.
And I want to recognize that. And you brought that to my attention. Yeah. I think that's a great point.
It is. You know, and we're talking about, you know, whether or not certain people were pushed around or whatever. And, you know, it could be that, you know, some people have a much different view of this than I do. That being said, I don't live my life based on a case-by-case basis, right? We don't live our collective lives based on that. We don't live our lawful lives based on that either, right? Or our moral lives based on that.
Yeah, and that's you know what I mean? The important distinction.
Like we've got to think about it this way. We make rules based on law and we make rules based on morality. And,
you know, we make these rules, so to speak, so that we can all act within them and we can all try to be moral. And I don't feel like there's ever really a moral stance to be like, yeah, I should be able to punch somebody in. Now, you may have a different experience in the world that might change it. Like I cut this from last week, but I was saying, look, if I had somebody, you know, that was hurt by a Nazi, like, let's say somebody like a Nazi killed my kid or something. I don't have a kid and I'm not a target of Nazis, but let's just say, right?
Sure. It's a far
that
cry.
Happened.
Yeah.
I would want, and I said this last time, I would want a butcher knife, a half an hour, and I would break that guy down like a pork. Yep. I would be like, you know what? We're going to put a thing that's like fucking Chuck roast $1.25 when I'm done with you. You know what I mean? Like, I recognize the want to hurt someone who's hurt you. I recognize that. I experience it. And I can appreciate it in some way, right? But I know that that's not a good way to act. I recognize the father who's lost a kid to some serial killer wants that guy dead. I recognize that. And I sympathize with that father. But I don't think that that person should die by the state's hands or in any, you know, I don't support the death penalty. I talked a little about terrorism last week. You know, ask yourself this, if you're against torture, would you be okay if they, instead of doing like waterboarding or something else, if they just punched the guy, would you be okay with that as far as torture goes in like Guantanamo Bay? Would you be okay if they just walked in and started punching the terrorist? Would you be cool with that? Or a potential terrorist, right? Would that be something that you'd be okay with? Because if you're okay with hitting a Nazi, then why wouldn't you be okay with hitting, you know, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in the face?
Sure, right.
And the thing is like, I'm against torture. And I do think punching is a form of torture, right? That's you're inflicting serious bodily injury on someone. That's the definition of torture. So I don't want to push back on that. I don't want to fight against that. I'm like, I am 100% against hurting another human being unless it's in some way protecting you, right? Like when we talk about in this particular story, you know, if somebody's in the Blitz and they're fighting against Nazis, man,
punch away.
All bets are off. Then I'm not saying like, oh, well, you know, he came to my house and he had a gun and I'm not going to punch. No, if you're in danger, yeah, you should punch. But Richard Spencer is standing on the sidelines.
Yammering.
Just talking.
Yeah.
If they'd have ignored him, nobody would have ever heard his message. If they would have just walked on by, how many people would have heard his message?
Sure. Yeah.
You strengthened his message by giving him a sock.
How many people Googled Richard Spencer after this happened?
Yeah.
A fucking lot.
A lot of them.
I did.
Yeah.
Never heard of him before.
Never heard of him before.
Never heard of him before. But then this fucking blew up and I'm like, oh, I wonder who he is.
Yeah.
And now I'm not swayed, but other people Googled him that were.
Yep. Yep. So I feel like, and I also just disagree with, you know, like how we measure Nazis. Like, I just don't understand how that happens. Like, how deep of a Nazi do you, how big of a Nazi do you have to be?
7 Nazi units.
And that's the thing. There's no way to measure that shit. You're just like, well, you know, Richard Spencer is a perfect guy because he's an asshole.
It's actually measured in Jew teeth.
Yeah.
That's how you measure.
See how much they have. But, you know, Richard Spencer is the kind of guy that is easy to punch. He's easy to look at and say, yeah, that guy makes the list. Well, who doesn't make the list? Right. Or who kind of makes the list? Who almost makes the list?
Right.
It's really shaky ground. Let's just not start punching people. We got an image. This is from Aaron, and Aaron sent this in. We're going to put an image. This is Trump as Colonel Klink, and I really like it.
It's really good.
It's going to go on this week's show notes. We got a bunch of people sending us messages that said, hey, thanks for mentioning the Pink House in Mississippi. It's the last place that has abortion. It's the last abortion clinic in Mississippi, the Pink House.
So fucking.
So do a Google if you're going to be giving money away to Planned Parenthood or to abortion services. Pink House might be somebody who you want to donate to. We got a great message from Jess. And Jess sent in this long message. She was very happy that she went out and protested. A bunch of people did this. They went out all over the country and protested, but I want to read this great, she sent an image. I'm not going to post the image, but she did send an image with a great sign with a little girl holding it that says, when Voldemort is president, we need a nation of Hermiones.
That's terrific.
And I think it's so cool. It's such a cool, A cool way to get a kid involved too. I think, it's such a brilliant sign. And she sent out a bunch of pictures. Thanks for sending your pictures. We're so happy that you were able to go out there and sort of use your voice. That's awesome. Tom, we got a message from Marie, and she said that she was on Obamacare, and Obamacare kept her alive.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because we met Marie at the picnic, the picnic that we did a few years back.
Yeah.
Several years back.
Yeah, yeah.
And so this is somebody that, you know, has a genuine, like, has a personal connection with us and with the show. And she requires diabetes medication in order to be alive.
Yeah.
Right? And she tells a story, and I don't want to get too detailed. She tells a story about how much her life would cost without this medication. Yeah. And basically, whatever happens here in the next however many months with Obamacare and whatever gets put in place of Obamacare could mean life or death for somebody that we know.
Yeah.
Like somebody who came out to support you and I in our efforts, in our little creative effort.
Yeah.
And it is an atrocity to me that somebody would look in their refrigerator someday and count the little vials of life-saving medication they have and wonder how much longer they get to live because some shithead politician decided to pull the rug out from under them to save a few bucks.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. We got a message from Luke, and Luke said it's kind of, Luke, I'm going to summarize his message. He's basically saying it's kind of hilarious that Trump is not releasing his tax returns, but didn't he go after Obama for not releasing his birth certificate?
Right.
And yeah, there should be somebody who does the exact same thing to Trump that Trump did to Obama. Just follows him around.
And just run him
constantly
into the ground.
Constantly talks about it. Go on all the different news channels and talk about how he won't release it. So we want to thank Dan Errol for joining us. Be sure to check out his blog, Danthropology. And check out his book, Secular Activism. It's available online. You can also check out this week's show notes, and you can buy a copy through the links there. Dan was nice enough to come and join us. We had recorded with Dan in the past, and the file got messed up. So we want to thank Dan for coming on and being patient with us. Thank you so much. That's going to wrap it up for this week. We're going to leave you, like we always do, though, with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo quasi alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy healing, water downward spiral, brain dead pan, sales pitch, late night info docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your sides. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and information provided on this podcast are intended for entertainment purposes only. All opinions are solely that of Glory Hole Studios, LLC. Cognitive Dissonance makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, currentness, suitability, or validity of any information, and will not be liable for any errors, damages, or butthurt arising from consumption. All information is provided on an as-is basis. No refunds. Produced in association with the local Dairy Council and viewers like you.
Hello.
Hello.
This is turning out to be a good conversation.
Dan is an amazing conversationalist so far. Hello.
Is it me you're looking for?
Hello from the other side.
Every one of her songs is the same song.
Every song is a sad song.
Every song is the same song, just like... hey, you're gone. And, you know, I'm real sad. And I'm going to see if you want to. No, you're good. Okay. All right. I'm good too. I mean, but I was not. I mean, you want it? No, okay, no. Forget it.
So sad, but my voice sounds lovely while I'm so sad. Like, oh, man. I'll just carry his side of the conversation. Yeah. I have a blog called Danthropology. Ask me some questions.
Okay. So how long have you been involved with the Danthropology blog, Tom?
I have been involved with the Danthropology blog since 9:58 p.m. this evening when I took over administrative rights. Oh. I'm killing it, though.
Hello?
Did he hang up on us?
Dan?
Dan, we love you.
The best part is, like, I don't know if he can hear us. Like, I don't know. Maybe he can.
This is the most technical.
Like, I know. We've had the most problems with Dan.
It's amazing.
Dan's like a gremlin. Like, he touches technology and just
disintegrates. If you put water on him, you get more Dan's. Maybe we fed him after midnight.
It could be.
Hello, Dan.
We heard a click.
Dan, are you speaking exclusively in clicks? Click twice if you're in danger.
Dan, are you speaking Bushman?
The Kung of the Kalahari.
Dan, you're so close. I saw it click. I saw it move.
You're right there, man.
You twiddled my button there.
Put the thing in the other thing. Yeah. Plug the stuff into the Tuzet or whatever you got to do.
The worst part is
I'm sure he can't hear us.
I hope he can't hear us. he can hear us. Damn it!
Ah, God damn it!
Well, now be nice to Dan. Okay, so Dan is a great guy who has a Danthropology blog.
We should cancel this interview. This is not my forte.
Oh, Dan.
All right.
He's trying to figure it out. It's cool. No pressure, Dan. No big deal.
No, I've literally all night.
Yeah, we're just chilling.
Is it you, Adele? I love you. Come back to me. Where's Dan? He's out punching a Nazi. can't come to the phone right now.
Oh, I heard a click. I heard a series of clicks and beeps. Well, not really beeps, but clicks at least. There's clicks. I see him. Something's going on. You've nearly found the clitoris, Dan.
It's higher than you think it is. Just
you need to. If you whistle while you work.
Just start making letters and find what she likes.
Stop at uppercase T. Yeah. It's always a good one. No?
I've had good success with a G, but you get tired.
G?
Like it's just a...
G uppercase or lowercase? My goodness. You know what you got to do is old-timey A.
I do a cursive Z. There's all these curly cues and shit.
Oh, man.
You got to do like three of them. It's Z, Z, Z. Either she's asleep or she pops one or the other.
Or she has a long beard.
Yeah. We call that the Rip Van Winkle.
It never lasts that long. I'm going to be out of jokes by the time.
It's a little hard to play off of clicks and buzzes.
It's fine. I'm used to people being silent on that.
I'm sure you are.
Tell me you love it. Tell me you love it.
Just don't roll your eyes.
Who's your favorite new kid?
If you're going to roll your eyes, please close them first so I don't have to see it.
Jesus. This is awesome, though.
This is payback.
This is exactly because we had that interview. We thought it went great. And now this is the payback.
Yeah. Dan just like, I'll be on your show, you fuckers, again. The second time.
Oh, I'm sorry,
He's like,
Dan.
You can't delete my audio if I don't give you any audio.
Can you still hear us? I see you're typing. Yeah, you can still hear us. Okay. All right.
All right, we'll start the interview.
Just read your responses.
Recording live from Glory Hole Studios.
Introducing a series of clicks and beeps. It's Dan. It's all good, man.
It's just the robot from Short Circuit.
However long it takes, no worries. So.
This is the most fucking ill-fated interview we have ever done.
It was going to be a good interview, too. I mean, I feel it was like really
we were
going to
do a great job. Maybe the best interview.
This could have been the best. Tremendous.
So good. You wouldn't believe how good it is. All the best people.
It was going to get so good. Dan was going to be sick of how good it was going to get.
He's getting lots of attention that he deserves.
Dan is the new Frederick Douglass. Oh, how's that abolitionist movement going? Oh, man.
Jesus Christ.
What a national disaster that guy is.
He's a fucking tit of
good
a man.
Good Lord. I mean, just when he's like, he's getting so much attention lately.
Frederick Douglass. Getting lots of extra attention.
Getting a lot of attention. Oh, we're hearing something.
We're getting some kind of sounds, you know, like.
Lots of clicking.
Whatever you're plugging by the other thing, try wiggling
it's sounding
it
like
by the other stuff.
It's sounding like when they leave the baby monitors on
that's
in those scary
like.
Movies and they're like.
I'm coming for you.
Like, okay.
I hear something.
Dan.
Dan, I hear something. Kinda. Dan.
I think I hear like your chair fucking something.
I'm hearing a click.
It sounds like the fucking Blair Witch Project. Like somebody's like slapping at the tent.